This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL, Week 14. Can't believe the season is almost over. We have the playoff picture, which is starting to really take shape. And we're recording this on a Friday, very early afternoon. So fresh off another terrible Cowboys performance, which I know upsets my co-host and great friend, Mr. John D'Amato. John, what's going on?
Yes, we're the kings of the NFC least. Between the Cowboys, the Eagles, who knows what to say. The division should just forfeit their playoff team this year. Terrible. But I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving, Cowboy. And unfortunately, the real Cowboys didn't have a good Thanksgiving or a good Thursday last night.
So you think the Redskins can win out and sneak in at 7-9?
Come on, man. Come on. It's not even the less said about the division, the better. But who knows? Because remember back in the day, what was it?
The Seahawks
7-9 on the Beastquake game?
That was the Beastquake game, yeah. So, I mean... Well, whoever wins the division is going to get a home game. I mean, so you could easily move on and have everybody in an uproar. But we should talk real quick about the Cowboys because it is it's a big national story. So they went out last night and lost 31-24 to the Bears in a game. Sadly, that wasn't that close. That was the Cowboys got made it close at the end. They were down 17 with like 7 minutes left, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, the Bears played prevent, and but it wasn't a game. Yeah, the Bears dominated.
I mean, the Cowboys' offense wasn't that bad, but I was really surprised with how their defense rolled over. Trubisky has been putrid. I mean, I know he's been a little better the last few weeks, but he's been awful. And I mean, he looked like Fran Tarkenton out there running and passing. And the Cowboys are having the look of a team that maybe have quit on Garrett, or maybe all the talk about Garrett has poisoned the locker room, because that was a real pathetic effort.
Yeah, it looks like Jerry Jones' strategy backfired. After that Patriot game, he put the onus on the coach, and he was trying to hope that maybe the team would rally behind the coach, but it's had the exact opposite effect. And that defense, just a lot of the plays were just tackling, it were poor effort, stupid penalties, everything that points to the coach, unfortunately, where it's a quitsville on the coach. And even that one turnover, it was the first turnover they had in five games. They haven't had a turnover. And to their luck, a lot of bad luck, he stepped out at like the half yard.
The half yard line.
So they went three and out. And what
happened? The Bears just came down and scored anyway.
Yeah. So that turnover was huge. They would have been better off holding the Bears to a field goal. So even that first turnover in six games it turned out to be detrimental to them. Just horrible overall. But you say the offense, but a lot of the blame has to be put on the offense too. Dak Prescott leads all quarterbacks in passing yards, but there's a lot, they settle for field goals. And then again, that's another problem where
they can't kick.
The kicker Maher, unlike Bill Maher, his kicks are to the right. Brett Maher's kicks all go to the right, unlike Bill Maher. But it's because their defense doesn't give them any turnovers, doesn't give them a chance for short fields. So they really have to work too hard. And there's just a disconnect on the offense. It seems like they got sucked in when those first couple games with those lousy teams where Dak was able to just bomb them from 40, 50 yards. That they got away from screeners to Zeke Elliott, who's very effective. They hardly pass to him anymore, and they're too pass happy. And there's just a real bad disconnect. You could sum up their season right there in that play where it was a third down. It wasn't Zeke, it was the fullback, Amalami, whatever the hell, was wide open, and Zach Pesce, he wasn't even looking for the ball, and And Ulami ran right past him, and Zach threw it at his feet. And then what happens? Britt Maw comes in and wide right, and that's it. So they wind up getting no points. So Dak has about 50 yards on his passing resume, but no points. And then, of course, Chicago gets the ball and scores. It's a vicious cycle.
Yep, and I mean, so we talk about the Cowboys, but what about the Bears here, John? Do you think there's life there? They're over 500, yeah. 3 wins yeah. in a row.
Yeah, there is, because and especially they don't have a first round pick next year. So what little cap money they have, they'll look to shore up other areas. I don't think they'll cut bait on. Looks like Nagy and Mitch, they're going to give them one more year to get it done. Maybe Nagy's kind of found like the niche with Mitch, just to keep it to short passes. Don't overexert, short, quick passes, utilize his running. And also he rediscovered that you can't just have Mitch, throw it 50 times, utilize a little running game in there. It might help your quarterback. And Montgomery gave him a couple nice runs to balance the offense out a little bit.
Oh, he runs hard. I liked what I saw from him, and he's been kind of hit or miss this year, Montgomery. But he ran hard last night. So I mean, they're not out of the playoffs, out of the playoff race either.
Yeah, they need a lot of help, but it's good for Nagy that he won't just get dumped after after winning the division 1 year, and he's gonna get another chance. Him
you
and
figure
Mitch,
that so. That last playoff spot's gonna come down most likely to Minnesota, Chicago, and the Rams. With Chicago, probably third best chance of getting it, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. The Vikings have laid eggs at the end of seasons before to miss the playoffs. But we shall see. We shall see. It's very, very interesting that if you would have said 4 weeks ago that coming out of this game that the Bears would have a better record than the Cowboys.
In Dallas, yeah.
You could have made a lot of money for that one.
They do play the last game. They do play the Vikings if they're still alive. So they'll have a chance to.
Right.
If the Vikings would have to slip a couple games, probably at the Chargers, and they'd have to lose that Green Bay game, and it would give the Bears a chance that last game.
Yep. All right. So moving on to the rest of Week 14, John. Probably the game of the week. Going to have the Kansas City Chiefs coming here to Foxborough, playing the down and out New England Patriots. Coming off a tough loss to the Texans.
I just got a bulletin. Brady just stopped yelling at his receivers about 5 minutes ago.
It was a little watching the game. It's a little concerning that, and I mean, I'm not the only one saying this, obviously, but I mean, I don't think he's playing that bad. I mean, I don't think he looks great, but I mean, he's not. I don't think he's like a huge problem at the quarterback position, but it just. They do seem like they don't have like anybody who can get open, which is tough. And he seems to not trust anyone but White or Edelman. So he's force feeding them. And this is these are not new issues. I mean, last season during the regular season, this team at this point in the season did not look like a Super Bowl champion. I mean, even so far as going into the playoffs, they didn't look. A lot of people thought the Chargers were just going to beat them in the first round. So they're not new to this. You would think they can pull it together. With that said, I think this is a really tough game for them with the state of the team right now. In that they really are relying on their defense to win, and I just don't know if the offense, the way that they're playing right now, if they're capable of a 30-point game really against anybody. And that's probably with the Chiefs offense, it's probably what it'll take. So I actually like the Chiefs to come in and put the Patriots in the whole area here into full blown panic mode with a close, exciting victory. I don't think their Pats are going to be able to get enough stops against that Chiefs offense. I think the Chiefs are going to win 27-24 or something like that.
All right, I'm going to go against. I'm going to go with the Patriots home mojo and the Patriots not losing two in a row mojo. as far as that's concerned. And but the Chiefs' defense has been stepping it up under Spagnuolo. Then again, it was the Raiders, so
I told everybody all year that Raiders team bottom of the barrel.
That Jet
just took a little while to get there.
Yeah, that Jet game wiped them out. But the Raiders, they'll get to the 8-8 that I called, but not the playoffs. But the Chiefs' defense has improved. But I think the Patriots. I'm surprised though that I thought Sanu would be a nice pickup, but it just shows that not every receiver can get that chemistry with Tom. We've seen in the past with Ocho Cinco, who was great with the Bengals, and he came to the Patriots and did nothing.
A number of guys were like that. Joey Galloway was another one.
So some guys get it and some guys don't. So it's weird. And it looks like, there's no chemistry with Sanu, which is surprising because he's very talented receiver. So that's going to be, but also as the weather becomes a factor, they're going to have to rely more on their running game.
Right. I was just going to say that. And that's really been an issue last year. That's how they righted the ship and won the Super Bowl, was they leaned heavy on Michelle in the run game. And he's looked a little better the last couple weeks. It's not, I don't say it's so much him as obviously the offensive line.
Yeah. That offensive line issues. If you're still starting Marshall Newhouse, you guys got problems.
They got Isaiah Wynn back, which was big, but this, if they're going to beat Kansas City, that's how they're going to beat Kansas City, in my opinion, is you know, grind them out, control the clock, get a couple of timely stops, shorten the game.
But the Chiefs, their front four is really stepping up with Frank Clark and Chris Jones are really making some plays on their front four. They're giving the Chiefs a competitive defense. And the Pats run game, Michelle's only averaging 3.5 yards a carry. It's been lackluster, not like last year when they were all up around 4.5-5 yards.
The predictability of the offense, because Michelle doesn't catch the ball. So I don't know. I'm sure you've seen the stats where it's like if he's in the game 70% of the time, it's a run. Yep. And then if White's in the game, it's 80% of the time pass. It's a pass. So I maybe they could do something where they have them in there together or something.
But they rely more on Burkhead's a little more versatile as far as that, where he could run and catch the ball at the backfield. So they may have to rely on him
not
more.
A, you know,
not a speed guy, I know.
But he's he's a switch hitter. He kind of sucks both ways. You know what I mean?
Come on. We went through this last year when everybody's getting okay just because he might have missed a fourth down or two. Maybe he was a little slow. The Caucasian running back sometimes gets a stigma.
He's not great. If that's what you're hanging your hat on to go defend your Super Bowl title is Rex Burkhead's versatility, we're a sad day.
He's serviceable. He made some plays for you guys. You guys would appreciate
it. When they signed him, it was the biggest free agent contract they ever gave a running back, which is pretty nice.
You guys are spoiled. When you have six rings,
I know. No, I'm not complaining at all. Believe me, as a fan, I'll never complain about this team. They could go 0-16 for the next 5 years, and you'll never hear a peep out of me. Just from an analysis perspective, I think that.
I hear you. No, it's not going to happen. It's all good. But I look for the Pats to bounce back.
And how about the Texans? That was a really nice win for them. Their offense played great. Against the best defense in what we think is the best defense in the NFL. Watson was awesome.
Very impressive. That was another game. Not even close at all. They just gave the Pats a couple late TDs. They dominated
They let it get a little too close for comfort, though, because, I mean, Brandon Bolden almost recovered that onside kick.
Sure.
And you know if he did – I mean, it would have been like classic Bill O'Brien, right, to lose that game.
Yeah.
You win the game for 58 minutes and then lose the game.
It was ironic that Brady spent the whole game yelling at his receivers, because that's pretty much how Bill O'Brien got his job, because he stood up to Brady and yelled at him that one time. But we crack on O'Brien. But that was a good win for him.
Because, oh yeah,
he never beat the Patriots before, and you know, in big games, he comes up kind of short. But it looks like they're taking over that division now. That was otherwise with the Titans coming on, they would have been in a dogfight with the Titans. But for now, it looks like it's their division to lose. They got Denver, but they do play the Titans twice in the last 3 weeks.
Right, that's really going to decide it. I mean, the Titans should beat the Raiders this week in Oakland.
Yeah,
I think. Yep. I mean, they're coming in. They're coming in hot. The Raiders obviously coming in just ice cold, and after just getting their asses handed to them twice in a row, and the Titans have the kind of team, I think, that. Like even if the Raiders are at their best, I think it's the kind of team that'll give them the most trouble, and that the Raiders aren't going to have any answer at all for Henry. None. They don't. Their defense is terrible. Their run defense is really, really terrible. So I expect the Titans to kind of control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball in that game. And I don't know if they'll blow them out, but. I think it's, you know, 21-14, something to that effect. I think it's a comfortable, close yet comfortable win for the Titans there. And Houston's, you know, if Houston's a real contender, you don't lose at home to Drew Lock, and I don't think they will.
Unless the Titans get caught looking ahead, that as they are, that's usually why they're 8-8. They win the games that they're supposed to lose, and they lose the games they're supposed to win. So. But otherwise, if both teams win, that's going to be a nice matchup next week at 1 o'clock at Tennessee, and then again they'll have a rematch for the last game of the year, which might the division might hinge on it.
Yeah, and you got to wonder like if that would I was going to say if they'd flex the game to 8 o'clock, but they already flexed.
Buffalo,
they already flexed Buffalo and the Duck. Speaking of which, the Duck.
Oh,
Duck. Yes. What do you think, man? I mean, they're
Roger, you're leading me up to it. What do I think? The big play. The big play was a pass to James Washington for a touchdown. The Cleveland jumped out on him, 10-0. And it looked like the Steelers are going to be in big trouble. But the big play was the James Washington. And the reason why was because during the week on the off day, James Washington and Hodges went out on a duck hunting trip. And they did some bonding. And that's what you do. You bond with your teammates on the off day. Meanwhile, they had a team who, you know, their quarterback and their star receiver, they probably never talked to each other or never hung out off the field because one's doing an episode of Ballers and the other one's doing some stupid commercial.
Growing
stuff
his mustache.
Like that. You're two selfish guys. And meanwhile, you got two guys who aren't as talented, but they get together. They know what it's like to bond and to win. And that was the difference in the game. Meanwhile, the great one of the highest paid receivers on the other team had what, three meaningless catches for 30 yards or something like that?
Yep, 29.
And he makes more headlines for this week saying, you know, maybe I'd rather stay with the team or something. You know, he makes some usual, you know.
I mean, I don't know what he wants. I guess it's a chemistry thing. But the thing is, the real great ones, like, that doesn't matter, right? I mean, you can
put him, who gets open, sure.
You can put him with anybody, right? You can put him with any quarterback, and they're still going to pretty much produce. And it's not like Mayfield is, like, awful, you know? I mean, I could see if it's, like, you know, like Juju Smith-Schuster with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. I mean, no receiver is going to be good with Mason Rudolph playing quarterback. But it's not – Mayfield isn't a bad quarterback. I mean, he's, you know, he has his flaws, but – I mean, one of the things he's known for is kind of like forcing it in there and stuff, right? Which should benefit a receiver. But it's just very clear that he doesn't – him and Beckham, they don't have the chemistry, or he doesn't trust him. Because, I mean, Landry is like far and away the number one receiver on that team. And you watch the games and it's like Landry should be the number one receiver on that team. He's the best receiver on that team as far as I'm concerned. And – I don't know. I mean, I think you just really can't after what he's done this year. I don't think you can really call Odell Beckham an elite an elite receiver, right? I mean, he's a, you know, he's a marginal first receiver.
You nailed it. Look, versus the physical teams versus Pittsburgh, what happens? To three catches for 29 yards. He doesn't step up his game. When he plays against the physical teams.
And the Giants got killed for that move, and I was one of the ones who killed them. But I mean, it's, you know, credit where it's due. I mean, they did the right thing.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they signed them first. If they were really smart, they could really get a pat on the back if they traded them before they signed them. So even though they did eventually do the right move, it still came at a cost because they had to pay him this year, and they took a major cap hit. So they were stupid on that part. So, you know, let's not praise, you know, I can't praise the Giants too much.
No, but I mean, looking at his numbers too, I mean, he's getting looks, you know, I mean, he's barely at a 50% catch rate. I mean, he's got a 57 out of 103 targets. He's got multiple targets, five weeks. He's at 8, 9 every week. Yeah. And he's just not turning them into production. Except for
and
that typical, one long play, you know, that
typical,
week two.
In typical Odell fashion, they play Cincinnati twice and Arizona and then the Ravens, who will probably have the division clinched. So he'll probably light it up these past few weeks to get his stats up to a respectable, he'll get a few touchdowns. By the end of the day, it'll look like he has 70, 80 catches, 1,000 yards and the 6, 7 touchdowns. And it'll be like, hey, you know, great year.
It would be beneficial to me if he decided to do that these last few weeks. So let's hope for that, John. It'll prove you right, and it'll be a positive for my fake team.
Yeah, well, last year he killed everybody because he went into the tank and refused to play when he could have played the last few weeks.
This year,
killed people's fantasy teams.
I know, you know, not to talk about it. You know, the team I have him on, I mean, I think it's a credit to all the other guys on the team that we finished in first place, and now it's his turn, to step up a little bit. Anyway, so they're done. The Browns, all the playoff talk.
And also, your boy Soup Kitchens with the just shows the
what
you know,
an idiot.
He doesn't have He doesn't
what
have the coaching, the winning mentality. That's an amateurish, Rex Ryanish loser move.
Real loser
the Pittsburgh
move.
Started his shirt. Yeah.
Why do you need to give them like more bulletin board material? Right. I mean, like they're already going to be wicked pissed off and pumped up for the game. And I don't know.
It's not even classy.
It wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it's just like. Like his guy was like clearly in the wrong, and I mean it was just like all the Steelers came out and said the same thing. Happy we don't have a joker clown of a fucking coach like this guy.
Yep.
And they're right. I mean he's an absolute joke. Him and you know like Garrett, although you keep saying Garrett's going to get another job right away.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
every week he coaches makes that possibility less and less. But I mean, the Browns would have to get rid of him at the end of the year. It was an experiment hiring him in the first place, and they have to they bring anybody at all. He can't.
The schedule's in their favor. They're going to go at least 8-8. They might even run the table these last few games if Baltimore's not playing anything. So if they go 9-7 and just miss out on the playoffs, they'll probably still give him a job. Unless somebody, it depends what attractive candidates come to them, but they'll probably give him another chance.
Ugh. Man, can you imagine if that happened in Foxborough?
that was. And it was just so lame because the controversy kind of died down, and even Pittsburgh, they were downplaying it. Tomlin, forget about it, wouldn't even talk about it. You know, it shows class on one side, winning on one side, and that's the difference between winning and losing.
Agreed, my friend. So who knows? The Bengals could get a W this week. That wouldn't surprise me. I think Cleveland will. But
you correctly called the Bengals 1-W. That was a good job by you. I was 1 week too early on the Bengals train.
I talked to my good friend, the Jets fan, who who, when I gave him my reason for the analysis, he agreed. He said, "Oh, classic Jets to lose that game. Classic Jets." right when there's a little bit of hope.
He knows them too well. Yeah.
So another big game this week, the Seahawks at the Rams on Sunday night. Important game playoff wise, especially for the Rams coming off they actually looked like an NFL offense again, but it was against the Cardinals, whose defense is not very good. So you got to see if the Rams maybe have put something together, or, I mean, given what, you know, we mentioned this in the, you know, talking about the Bears, the Vikings are 8-4 in the second wild card right now. So if you're the Rams sitting at 7-5, I mean, you may be able to lose one more game, but probably not, right? You probably need to go 11-5. And this is a real test with the Seahawks coming to town. Do you think the Rams kind of figured things out a little bit, or was it just the Cardinals? We'll find out. Two, what do you think of that Vikings Seahawks matchup that we both kind of incorrectly called, but were vindicated in the way that Kirk Cousins played a good game, and it was really just the defense, right? The cost of the game. So both points.
To number one, I think it was more just the Cardinals. I don't know if the Rams are going to be able to get their mojo back, although it was nice to see, you know, guys like Robert Woods and Gurley, guys that they pretty much ignored all year. They finally got them into the offense. But I think it was just a competition, and it's going to be rough to rev it back up. They got Seattle at Dallas and the 49ers. This three-game stretch is going to see whether they could make an effort to get that wild card. And number two, the Seattle that was quite a game on Monday night. And even though most of the narrative went that it was because of Cousins' 0-8 record on Monday night, which actually you could blame anybody but him. He did all he could on that game, and Seattle did their best to keep him in the game. Once again, Seattle they don't like to make it easy. Ironically, their only easy game, like in their whole run, was their Super Bowl win over the Broncos.
It's true.
Like, they got up 17.
Loved every second of that, by the way, John.
Peyton Manning, of course. But they got up 17, and it seems like within 13 seconds they gave up a bomb. All you had to do was play prevent,
and you could blown coverage. He was just
They gave that touchdown right back, and then they gave him the ball right back, and the next thing you know, Cousins has a chance to take the lead. And you can criticize Cousins, though, because he had plenty of time. He had like a minute left and like a second at three and just threw three awful passes. Yeah. At least try, you know, at least get go to your big guy Rudolph. That was where he really missed Thielen. That fourth down pass was horrible, where he went to the backup tight end and wasn't even close. Or at least try to rely on Rudolph. Or on a second or third down, try to mix in Cook with a run. And there was plenty of time.
Madison. Cook got hurt during the game.
Yeah.
But Madison's really good. I mean, he's a very good player. Like, if Cook ever misses time, I don't think they'll miss too much of a beat there.
Yeah, if you're a Vika fan, that was what was frustrating, because you had the chance at the end. But you can't criticize him, though, especially for that one interception where Diggs could have made a better play fighting for it. That, you know, it was more on the Diggs.
So,
but a great game overall.
Great game, and the Vikings real soft touch this week with Blow and the Lions heading into
Blow. It's Blow.
Blow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I mispronounce
the
that?
The listeners expect that from me. They don't expect that from you, Roger. They expect the blow job from me, not you.
So. Blow, he's heading into Minnesota this week, and it's a real, I mean, should be an easy win for the Vikings, so they can right the ship there. But who do you like in the Seahawks at Rams? I kind of like the Rams, and I'll tell you why. I don't think, I'm with you that I don't think their offense is really back, and I think a lot of that was the Cardinals. I think the dirty little secret is I don't think the Seahawks defense is that much better than the Cardinals. So I think that the Rams are going to be able to score some points in this game. And they kind of need the game a little more than Seattle. And I know Seattle's fighting for first place, but I mean, the Rams are fighting for their playoff lives. And I like that Rams defense, even though they are a little inconsistent. I think they show up for this one, and I think it's close, but I think they pull it out. I think the Rams pull it out.
Yeah, I'm with you on a lot of those things. Seattle's defense, they're larcenous, though. That's what saves them, though. They've been very good on forcing turnovers. But otherwise, they do give up big chunks of yardage, and there's spots in the game where, like, Clowney in their front four disappears, and teams can run on them. So I like your analysis, and I'm pretty much going to be in agreement to it. The more desperate team, I think the Rams are going to make one last stand for this. They're going to go down fighting, even though they'll eventually probably fall short and fall short of this getting that wild card. But they're going to go down fighting.
And I'm fully aware that the last time the Rams were in a spot similar to this, which was not too long ago, against an MVP candidate in a night game at home, it was the biggest non-effort of the season, probably by any team that could be considered a decent team. But I really truly believe that they're gonna right the ship. And I know they have just as good of a record, but I don't think Seattle is the Ravens. I don't think they're as good as that record. Like, if they were to go, if they do end out as the number one seed, like, I think they would be the kind of team that could be primed for, like, a big upset in the first round. Just to your point, John, they're on the razor's edge all the time. They don't blow anybody out, right? And yeah, you can only live that way so long.
A couple of those plays, you know, Seattle with a fake punt, and it's not stuff that you can sustain every week. It was like that Minnesota game. And there was a lot of players go back and forth. And also, I like the Rams, how they played Seattle that first game, where it was pretty much just a rare miss by Greg DeLeg. Otherwise, that game would have went the other way,
right?
And the Rams would have been 8-4, and so still would have shot at the division at this time. So,
yep. All right. So I. It's a real interesting game, and I'm looking forward to it. I like that it's the Sunday night game, too. I'm always a fan of the night games being good, and the NFL does do a good job of that. Generally, Monday night this week, different story.
I don't know. Who was the schedule maker that put the Giants on two Monday night games?
At least they figure Saquon, you know, fantasy people.
But fuck the fantasy people. How about winning teams? Jesus Christ. Why do I have to suffer?
But we should talk about it a little bit, because the game does have big implications for the NFC East division. So the Giants going to Philadelphia. The big story in this one is that Philly, no matter how many games in a row they lose, are still going to be, no matter what, have a shot to win the division. And two, Danny Dimes a little banged up, and so we're gonna have Eli back in prime time. And you know, I mentioned this to you this week, and I feel like that this is in play. And if I was a Giants fan, I would be rooting for this. That, I mean, he's probably gone at the end of the year, obviously, right? I mean, he may retire, but he's had, you know, had a heck of a run for you guys. And what better way to go out than to come back and knock the Eagles further out of the playoffs, right? The hated Eagles go into Philly and beat them. And it's definitely possible. It's definitely possible, because Philly is capable of losing to anybody right now. What do you think there, John?
I don't think so. I think Philly will at least have a little bit left to get these two Giant games and the Redskin game, and it'll come down to that game that they play versus Dallas. I don't see Philly dropping below this level. Although that's an egregious loss.
Bear with me here. I mean, they just gave up 37 points to the Dolphins, right? I mean, you're telling me Saquon can't get loose in this one? Evan Engram's going to be back. I mean, you're pretty much at full strength. You'll have Engram and Shepard and Darius Slayton and Saquon. I think you guys can score some points. I think Eli might be better than Danny Dimes right now, too. You know, I mean, Danny Dimes, I think, has potential. He's going to be good, but he hasn't been great.
I think at home, the Eagles are going to suck up enough pride. and plus the way they've totally dominated the Giants like the last 3 years. But Peterson just has Shermer's playbook and the whole defense hasn't memorized the games haven't even been competitive between these two. And I don't think Philly's falling that far down where they're going to lose this. I don't see it at all. And as far as the Giants concerned, it was just an opportunity. I think if they were in contention, Jones would still be playing, but they look at it as a nice opportunity to get maybe this and one more, and the week after, home to Miami, maybe to get Eli a last home win, and he could close out his career like that. It's just a little sentimental BS, yeah.
Classy. I picked the Eagles, but I'm telling you, Narrative Street, it would not surprise me. It's been the Eagles. The Eagles are in shambles. I mean, they are. They're just as bad as the Cowboys. As far as I think they've also lost three games in a row. And I mean, this last one was ugly. I mean, Devontae Parker's having a good year, but I mean, they made him look like Randy Moss. I mean, their defense was atrocious in that game. Absolutely atrocious.
But they're still alive. And I think they have a little bit more of that championship pedigree that's still hanging around. That's gonna carry them, especially over these lousy teams, and it'll probably be carrying past the Cowboys for the division. I think when it comes down to it, where they're gonna wait till the game where it's an elimination game, and then they'll step up. Like we saw last year, we had them counted out many times, and they still wound up having a good year. They won a playoff game, and they made the Saints shit in their pants. They almost beat the Saints in New Orleans.
Well, they had Foles then, though.
Yeah, but
I'm just kidding.
Nah, I'm not down on Wentz like that. But it is kind of hard to defend the Eagles as a whole, but. If it's them or the Cowboys, I think I'll take them at this stage.
It's real tough either way, but we'll see, man. I mean, that should be I think it'll at least be a good game just because the Eagles defense is playing so bad. I don't think they're going to go in and blow them out. And I think the troops, again, it's Narrative Street, but I do think the troops will be riled up for Eli. We'll be giving it 110% out there. Not that they don't always, but. You know what I'm saying, John.
Well, the less said about it, the better.
Oh, and the other game of the week that I really should have mentioned is a really great game. We have the Niners at New Orleans. All of a sudden, the Niners are a wild card because the Seahawks keep refusing to lose. And New Orleans sitting pretty on top of the division at 10-2. So... New Orleans really playing for seeding, right? I mean, they've already mathematically clinched, I believe. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, the division.
Yeah, they've mathematically clinched the division. So playing for seeding. Games in New Orleans. The Niners, we said that we've been saying this, that once that's their schedule was murder at the end of the year. And the Niners played good in that Baltimore game. I mean, Baltimore's been kicking the living shit out of everybody, and the Niners went in there and gave them everything they wanted and played a good game, but it was a loss. So they're at 10-2 at New Orleans. New Orleans is playing fantastic football right now, and I mean, I think these are the two best teams in the NFC. I don't know if you agree with that. It's a heck of a matchup. How do you see it going?
The 49ers, they really impressed me the way they jumped on the Ravens game. You know, we got to look back at that game a little. The 49ers came out and they took it to the Ravens and they had them 7-0, but Jimmy G just has a propensity for turnovers, unfortunately. That's what's going to might keep the 49ers out of winning the division or going to the Super Bowl. For a great offensive line and all his weapons and all that, for as little as he gets hit, Jimmy G, 10 picks and 5 fumbles. That fumble was huge. They had a chance to go up 10-0 or 14-0 and really make the Ravens a little nervous there. And Jimmy G, you know,
he gives it up.
He coughed it up. Yeah,
he gives it up. I mean, he's really going to be. He's really that team's. And I don't think he's a bad quarterback. So
no, not at all.
But as far as that team, he's kind of like their Achilles. their Achilles heel, like in the big game, you can see him doing what happened there, right? Where you, the game where you can't make that mistake. He makes that mistake once or twice a game. He just does. Yep.
And especially opposed to what we saw from Jackson, who phenomenally, that was his first fumble of the year was in that third quarter. And it was a great play by the safety for the 49ers. Harris made a great play. Jackson's knee was like just like a quarter inch from the ground.
Great play. And punched
Harris,
it out.
Snatched it up. That was a great play. And guess what? That was Lamar Jackson's first fumble of the year with only five picks.
And think of all the carries he has. I mean, he carries 20 carries a game almost, you know.
He's averaging so six. So he's averaging one turnover every two games. That's phenomenal for the amount of time, and he's got the ball so much as opposed to the worst quarterbacks like Famous and Danny turnovers. They're averaging over two turnovers per game, and Jackson's only averaging one every two games. And that was the difference. So and Garoppolo is averaging a little over one turnover a game. So yeah, he's got to clean up. But otherwise. The Niners, like Bosa was nullified. The Ravens' front four kind of nullified them. And I think this is tough to go in back-to-back like this. And the Saints, even though they don't have as much to play for, they're gonna be a little looser, and they still want to tighten up their game. So I'm going to lean towards the Saints on this. I think Cam Jordan's going to get to Jimmy G, as we say, and force a turnover or two. And that's going to give the Saints the edge. The Saints are going to play looser. You know, less pressure, and then they're going to pull it out.
I feel the same way, John. I feel like the Saints are going to win this game. I feel like it's going to be a real low-scoring game, especially for, like, a game in New Orleans. But I think both of these defenses are – I mean, you know the Niners' defense is good, but the Saints' defense is real good, too. And I like how you mentioned Cam Jordan. He's been incredible. But – I see something kind of a similar score to Baltimore, San Francisco, and I just think the Saints will pull it out by the skin of their teeth by three point victory at home for the Saints.
Yeah, I like the Saints' defense against the rush. Even though Breed is coming back and Mostert had a great game, and then the Niners are great on the run, but I think the Saints' run defense can nullify them.
Yep, and then the last game, John, that's got real playoff implications is. The Ravens at the Bills. The Bills are 9-3. You are what your record is. We've talked about that. With that said, I don't think they're ready for this smoke at all. I like the Ravens by like at least 17 in this one. I think they're going to stomp them.
I like it a little closer, even though it was more that Dallas is not as good as we thought they were. But I like how the Bills came in there and. They said, hey, you know, we weren't put on national TV, and this is their big chance to shine, and they really took it to Dallas. And I also I liked Allen at the beginning of the year. Like Twitter was blowing up when he had a couple of like loose games where he makes some ugly throws, and Twitter were blowing up calling him saying like he's the worst quarterback in the league. But he's got that extra something. That play, that fourth down play where he fumbled the ball and then snapped it back up and dove. That's a special kind of play. He makes those kind of plays. They're not always pretty, but he gets the job done. And he has cleaned up the turnovers. And they found a little something with Beasley. He's really relying on Beasley to make some big third down plays. So
Beasley's just happy to be playing for a winning organization, John.
Oh, it's hard to believe that. That's another reason why Dallas let him go and didn't really try to keep him. And you can see they really miss him
or
in that
replace
offense.
Him. They don't have a slot receiver. Like they got the
exactly.
guys on the outside.
Everything's 30, 40 yards downfield. They could use a reliable guy like that. Yeah, but I'm with you. I don't think they're ready for the Ravens. The Ravens got some special kind of smoke going on. And,
exactly.
It'll be a little closer, but good for the Bills. They earned a national Sunday night flex game next week versus the Steelers, which I can't wait. Next week, I can't wait to talk about that. That's gonna be my kind of game. A nice slugfest.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And I agree with everything you said about Buffalo. I like Buffalo. I just think the Ravens are really on another level right now, and especially for a team like Buffalo, like it's kind of like the Patriots versus the Ravens in that Buffalo relies on their defense a little bit and. I just don't think there's really any slowing this Ravens team down. I know the Niners last week slowed them down a little, but I mean, it was like a monsoon too. So I guess you, Buffalo this time of year, hope for snow. If you hope for snow, really, I mean, the Bills can win a snow game. That's right up their alley, but I think that's really their only chance.
The only thing is that the Ravens might be due for a stinker.
I don't know. I feel like they're one of those teams that just isn't going to have the stinker. Like they're stinker proof.
Until they clinch, yeah. So just before we wrap up, Roger, what do you think about the Panthers putting Riverboat Ron overboard?
I don't like it mid-season. I've been an advocate for some coaches getting fired mid-season. I don't think he really deserved that given the tenure he's had there. And it's not, I mean, what do you want? I mean, the guy that they played without a quarterback all season, you know, I thought they showed some fight, generally speaking. And, they had some nice wins. And, you know, when you are playing with, you know, undrafted guy as your quarterback, you're going to have some shit losses like they had this week. I guess the one thing you can say is the Redskins ran all over them like they were the Jim Brown or Riggins, right? Riggins and the Hogs reincarnated there. So that gives you a little bit of the, hey, are they quitting on the coach feeling?
Yeah, a couple of those runs by Geis where they look like the guy they don't want to tackle. Those were red flag runs where it's like, uh-oh, when you see the lack of effort like that, that's when you see the coach might be
the way trouble. The way Rivera's players have came out for him this week. I think he is right at the top of the next coaching vacancy for a contending team. It could be the Cowboys, right?
I think it'll be right in the division. I think he might go right to the Falcons. He knows the division well.
Yep,
I think,
there you go. He won't be unemployed very long, is what I'm saying. Yeah. And then he's a good coach. I think he's a good coach. And
you know, I've come around on like the in season firings like this. I think it's more of a respecting where you might as well get rid of him now. Let the coach be home and celebrate the holidays with his family and stuff like that.
See, so, I read something the other way saying that this could hurt the Panthers looking for like what coach is going to want to come in if the ownership's going to anyway.
Yeah, well, the new owner, he wasn't a Rivera guy from the start, so he couldn't wait to get rid of him when he took over. Rivera was under the Richardson regime, so.
Yep. Yeah. We love you, Riverboat Ron. We know you'll be back soon.
Oh, I'd take him on the Giants in a heartbeat, but I think they're going to go another way.
We shall see. So, John, I wanted to, before we wrapped up here, I'm just going to go over everything we have going on here at Place to Be Nation. So, on the wrestling feed, you don't know Billy Jack finds number 9 finds Drew and Jordan taking their first look at Joshi in an all action Dream Rush Rager. In a 2-part row 1 seat 1, Ben interviews Brad Stutz and Grant Sawyer about their history in CWF Mid-Atlantic and then for the first time discuss their separation from the promotion. On episode number 2 of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy continue going over their GWWE list with a look at bloodbaths. On PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance number 12, JT, Jenny, and the one and only John D'Amato continue their ECW adventure with 4 episodes of ECW TV from the summer of 1994. Main event number 139 finds Scott, Nate, and Steve previewing Impact's No Surrender and NWA's Into the Fire, plus a trilogy of New Japan classic match picks. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Pop Feed, littered with great content, offering tremendous shows like The Hard Traveling Fanboys, The Year in Pop, Laugh in Theater, DC for You, Marvel Age, The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, and This Week in the NFL, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in the opening play-in round. There will be 4 matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. So, real quick on that, Sledgehammer, the official sitcom of this week in the NFL, moved on easily in a cupcake play-in matchup that they drew. I've heard through the grapevine that the next matchup is not going to be as easy for Sledgehammer. So all you This Week in the NFL fans, with Cowboy Senior leading the charge, when that bracket drops, we're going to need you to vote any way possible for Hammer. It's going to be a tough one to pull out. So Hammer time. John?
Trust me. I know what I'm doing.
Thank you very much, my friend. Be sure not to forget and check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Popular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web and Campus Hot Takes with Logan Crossland and Scott Criscolo. Last and not least, if you're doing shopping over on Amazon.com, be sure to click the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. And finally, for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project, please visit our social media pages, as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due 12/31/19. John?
Good job, Cowboy.
Thank you
so much.
Glad
you had a great Thanksgiving. And on a personal note, I'm glad your boy Lincoln.
Thank you so much.
Our friend pulled through.
The official mascot of This Week in the NFL, Lincoln, my almost 14-year-old German Shepherd, has gave us a really, really good scare this week. But he's a tank, essentially, and it's just going to keep going. So Katie and I are very blessed to have some more time with him. So thank you so much for saying that, John.
I love that guy. I can't wait to see him again.
Yes, so he can't wait to see you either. He's sitting right next to me right now. he just looked up like he sensed something. So everybody enjoy the games this week. And as always, feel free to reach out to us with questions, comments, concerns, if you'd like to be on the show, etc. Cowboy Senior's retirement countdown is on. He is in his last month of full-time work, so we know we will be three for a lot of episodes coming soon.
Awesome. That's a cowboy I can root for.
Absolutely. Yes, the only one. So for John, I'm the Cowboy. Everybody enjoy your weekend. We're out of here.
Peace.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.